lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 286, stanzas 1 and 6. He waters the hills with rain from the skies, and plentiful grass and herbs he supplies, supplying the cattle and blessing man's toil with bread in abundance, with wine and with oil. 286, stanzas 1 and 6.
Further, we wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go in a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth the rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise, and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou dost bring us together in this day is set aside by the church, that we may in a special way, before the beginning of the new season, when the farmers will go out into the fields, and when the seed will once again be sown, that we might call upon thy name. For thou art our creator, and thou art also our provider and the sustainer of this entire universe. And though men would not acknowledge thee, yet we have a desire to do so. O Lord, that thou wouldst bring us in truth at thy footstool in a day of prayer and supplication, that we might lay all our needs before thee. For what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. That thou may give us to feel something of our great insignificance, and of thy great majesty, and of thy great glory, and thy ability, thy power, and also thy goodness, and thy long-suffering, that we, despite who and what we are and remain, may yet humble ourselves before thee in a way of true supplication, confessing unto thee our unworthiness, that we do not deserve the least of all thy notice or attention, but only that thou wouldest pass us by and leave us to our own devices. Oh, that thou wouldst forgive, O Lord, all of our iniquities, and that thou wouldst wash us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, and that thou mayest look upon us in and through him, and that we might be granted all of the temporal blessings, and not only out of thy common mercies, as thou givest them unto all this world, but that they may be given also unto us and our children as a fruit of the mediatorial work of thy dear and only begotten Son. For thou hast bought for thy church everything that is necessary for body and for soul, and that they may have a bread in this life, and that their water may be sure, so that there is nothing more certain than the sustenance of thy church, even in an evil time. And so thou didst say unto thy disciples that they should look upon the sparrows and all the birds of the air, for they do not sow, they do not reap, and yet they are clothed by thee. Oh, that thou mayest remember thy church, for they are an afflicted and a poor people, and thou knowest where each and every one of them are in the feelings of their unworthiness, of their wretchedness, even in the days in which we do live. Oh, that thou mayest visit them also with a blessing from on high in the season wherein we do enter, that thy blessing may not rest only in giving rain upon the fields in the world, but may it be also within thy church, that those who do feel the drought and who cannot live without that food and drink from thee, that they may receive a cry unto heaven, that thou wouldst remember and give a little dew, to give the former and the latter rains upon the earth, that we and our children and may receive of thy Holy Spirit, that there might be a seed of thy word that is to fall in the season that is before us. Oh, that thou mayest strengthen us also for that labor in the season to come, that we may do our work as thy servant to go before our congregation for the good of thy kingdom, for the building of thy kingdom, for the increase of thy kingdom, for the edification of thy church, that thy seed that may be sown and may be put in our hand, in our mouth, that we may be given to speak as the Spirit giveth utterance, and that there may be seed falling also upon good ground. O Lord, that good ground that needs to be prepared by thee, by a true regeneration, that there may be life within, that there may be a new heart, a good heart, made good by thee, made soft by thee, that is able to receive impressions out of thy holy word. Oh, that there may also be a taking root downward in the time in which that we do live, where there is so much that appears so green and that does speak, but Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of in our days, that there may be a little depth, that there may be a growing that is not seen by men, and that is wrought by thy Spirit in the depths, and that it might in thy time, in due time, being watered by thee, being warmed by thee, the blessed Son of righteousness, that it may it spring forth out of the ground, and that it might grow even ever so slowly, yet ever so surely, Lord, that it may in due time bring forth fruit. Oh, that we may not be in a hurry, for thou art not in a hurry. Oh, that we might learn to be as the farmers in this world, that might leave it in thy hands, and that might only bow our knees before thee. Oh, that thou may remember all those that do labor in the midst of this world to bring forth in order that there may be support for their families. Lord, thou knowest the occupations that we do labor in, each one of us, and also the businesses in the midst of us. Oh, then it belongeth unto thee to prosper us, that is alone coming out of thy hand. For we can read it in thy word, that he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes, for the Lord does blow upon it. O Lord, that thou wouldst look upon us, and that thou wouldst bless us in thy mercy, and that thou mayest remember us to grant what we cannot give unto ourselves, the blessing upon the labors of our hands. Remember our school, the teachers, the principals, the school board, and all that labor therein, along with our students. Lord, that thou mayest bless them indeed. Oh, that thou mayest give instruction, that thou mayest give them learning, in that place of learning, that there may be true wisdom taught and true wisdom received by thee who art the great prophet and teacher of thy church. Oh, that thou mayst strengthen all that labor therein. Remember also our denomination. We live in a time wherein we cannot even have our regular meetings, our classical or synodical meetings, our curatorium. Oh, could it please thee in the time that is to come, and yet to open it unto us, and that it might be possible once again, and that thou wouldest also send forth more laborers into thy vineyard. Remember all those that labor therein, and the theological school, and the students, and the instructors, and those that do labor in the midst of the mission field, all those that labor in places that are in persecution. Lord, remember them in the time that is to come, and give them courage and help from above, that thou mayest spare us also with our children, because then we see before us, then we need not to be a prophet, but then we can see it already coming. Then Satan is loosed out of his prison, and thou sayest that thou dost judge the world, and thou dost give men over to their own lusts, their sinful lusts. And then it is not only the sin of man, but it is also a judgment of the Lord to leave men who have departed from thee over to themselves, that they would do those things which are not convenient, and thou dost not stand in the way anymore. And then thou sayest, wilt thou go that way? And then I will let thee go that way. And then thou wilt work out thy own destruction as a people, as a nation. Oh, Lord, and then the judgments are upon us already. Oh, then the footsteps of the Son of Man, they can be heard already, coming upon the clouds of heaven. For we can read in thy word that in that end time iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. O Lord, could it please thee to prepare us for all that lies ahead of us? Oh, that we may receive new hearts, that we might receive courage, that we may receive faithfulness, that we may receive help and strength from above, and that thou wouldest lead us into all thy truth, then that which is hypocrisy, and that shall all be revealed. Oh, what shall our own heart reveal? Oh, then we need to be kept by thee, Lord. Wilt thou remember us in thy mercy? Remember thou the nation in which we dwell. Oh, could it please thee yet to stay the tide of sin and to bring us back again in these days wherein laws are being made, even in this very week. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the meetings that will be held, the decisions that must be made, the laws that will come into effect. Oh, that thou mayest remember, that thou wouldest arise, and thou who hast the heart of all men in thy hands. Oh, Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Do remember us in thy mercy, and deal not with us as we so justly deserve. Remember the sick and the afflicted, also the weak ones, in the time in which we live, in the future. Lord, then there are those who are at home, young and older, and there are those in the nursing home, her that is in the hospital, and that is waiting for surgery. Many fears. Oh, Lord, help her. Remember her. Guide the physicians and supply for all the weak and all the afflicted in this season that lies before us. Lord, look upon us in this night. A little word, and we are around it in this evening. Oh, could it please thee to open our hearts, and to open our mouth, to direct us all together, and that we may receive together that bowing before thee, a place of true humility, and an undeserved blessing, from the Lord of Sabaoth, who has the storehouses of Joseph in his hand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 296, stanzas 1 and 2. Springs and streams no longer bless all the dry and thirsty land. Fertile fields in verdant dress God converts to desert sand. For that they who dwell therein turn to wickedness and sin. 1 and 2 of Psalter 296. Beloved congregation, we read here the words of David in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The purpose of our creation, that is to glorify God. Do we do that too? Do we glorify God both with our body and with our soul? We hear sometimes men say, come, let us sing and glorify God. Oh, do we ever feel something? And that though we may open our mouth, and that there is so little glorifying of God. The Lord, he said of his own people, he said, this people, that they draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart, that is far from me. Do we ever feel that? That we have lost that great and that blessed purpose of our creation. And yet David, he says here, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Was that then a matter just of his lips, or was that a matter of his heart? What do you think, boys and girls? You say, no, I think David really meant it. I think that came out of the heart of David. Yes, you are right. How does that come then? Is David then different from Adam? Is David not a son of Adam? Is he then not the same as everyone who is in this world? Oh, indeed. It did not come from David. It does not come from you. It does not come from me. But that is now a work of the Lord. That is now the consequence of the pains that the Lord, he is taking with his own children, and that he may bring them once again, that they may honor and they may glorify his name. That will be in perfection one day. Then all the imperfections, they will be taken away. And that which they may be given to do a little bit, oh, just a little bit. You can get oil out of a nut, but then you have to press it very, very hard. And then you just get a little bit of oil. And that is now so also, even with the people of the Lord. We wish to consider something of this with you in this evening of prayer day. From Psalm 107, the 43rd verse, the last verse. Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So far the words of our text. Observing the loving kindness of the Lord. First in the giving of prayer, and second in the answering of prayer. Observing the loving kindness of the Lord in giving and in answering of prayer. Our text that speaks about observing and will observe these things. There is great wisdom in observing. If you speak, then someone else can learn something if you speak wisdom. But if you listen and you observe, well, then you can learn something. That is now what our text speaks about. It speaks about observing things, and it says those who observe things, they shall also understand things. That's the connection between looking, seeing, hearing, listening, and learning, understanding. Children, young people, are you speaking or are you listening? Because it belongs to a child, a young person, to listen, not to speak. That belongs to father, to mother, to the office bearers, to the teachers, they speak. To the gray-headed, the Word of God says, they have received the wisdom, hopefully, through their life, and it belongs to them to speak, to teach, and it belongs to the young to listen, to observe, in order that you may begin to understand. But David, he is not speaking here about listening or observing men, but God. He says, these things, and will observe these things. Thus, what are these things that he is speaking about? He's speaking about the dealings that the Lord has with men in this world. Do we ever look about us and look and listen and observe how that the Lord is dealing with men in this world? And observe how that the Lord is dealing with His own children in this world? This psalm that consists of a beautiful, we call it a quartet. There are four parts in it, and then afterwards there is a summary. And in those four parts, then we read over and over again, in a very simple way, how that the Lord is leading His church, His own children, and how that the Lord has one purpose, and that is to bring that church again, though it is through the press, to bring that church again to glorify, to magnify Him that is in the way of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Say, it is not Thanksgiving Day. It is Prayer Day. That is true. But in this psalm, then we see that there is a direct connection between Thanksgiving Day and Prayer Day. That there can be no Thanksgiving Day unless there has first come in our life a Prayer Day. That is now the meaning of our text. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And then in the first place, the loving kindness of the Lord in giving prayer. So giving prayer, is it necessary that the Lord would give a prayer? We pray every day. Right, children, you pray every day. In the morning when you get out of bed, then you say your prayer. And before you eat and after you eat, morning, noon, and evening, then you say that we pray every day. Oh, what is prayer? What is prayer? Is that then just the reciting of some words? Is that then just the mumbling of some syllables? If that's what it is, then you are right. Then we pray every day, morning, noon, and evening. Then you are right. But I'm afraid that true prayer is not that. And then I am afraid that all of us, we will have to confess that there is not so much true prayer that is coming forth out of our heart. Oh, do you say we should not do that anymore? Fold our hands and, oh, children, you will always do that, right? And young people, you will always do that. You will never neglect to do that, will you? To fold your hands and close your eyes and to be reverent when you pray. Young people, you will not neglect to do that, will you? When you are out in this world and when there is other persons around you that may even mock at you, then you will not neglect to fold your hands and close your eyes, will you? Why would they mock? Well, they may mock because they say, what are you doing? Are you then going to acknowledge that there is a God? Yes, that is what I am going to do when I fold my hands and when I close my eyes. Then I am acknowledging that God exists. And then I am acknowledging that He alone can help me. He is the only one that is able to bless this food and drink to strengthen my body. He is the one who has given to me this food and drink. Then we pray. That is an acknowledgement, even in itself. And then we acknowledge that God is greater than we. And we acknowledge that we are dependent upon Him. We acknowledge that we cannot live without Him. That there is not a move that we can make. That we cannot continue to exist in this world. That we cannot uphold ourselves. That is all what we acknowledge when we fold our hands and we close our eyes. But in reality, man will not acknowledge the Lord. No, not by nature. Our nature will not acknowledge that God is supreme. But we are following Adam, who has followed Satan, who has said, you shall be your own God, and you should have independence from God, and you are able to live without Him. Yesterday, our Prime Minister has declared a day of observation tomorrow that we should remember those who have died from the disease that goes through this world. A day of observation. Is that a bad thing? No. No, that is not a bad thing, but what is really too bad? That is all it is. Just to observe. Just to remember persons. We may remember them. But who did he forget? He forgot the Lord. Oh, if only he would have said that tomorrow I declare in this nation and that there is a day of prayer. That we may acknowledge the maker of this world. That we may acknowledge him who sustains us as a nation. You know what we read in Psalm 10? The wicked, through the pride of his heart, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And that after all that is taking place, it is evident that the judgments which are upon this nation, they are not yet sufficient to make men pray. And why not? Because there is still strength that is left from our own side. Or you say, do you think now that this nation, that the other nations of this world will ever bow their knees and pray unto the God of heaven? You know, it says in the Bible, and the Lord, he swears it. That is, he calls himself to witness. He says there is a time that is coming that every knee shall bow to me, that every tongue shall confess to God. That is going to happen in the end of this world. But the Lord, he can bring that to pass in one moment if he would look upon us in his mercy in this world, that he could bring every single one of us as a nation, as a people, upon our knees before him. That is precisely what this psalmist is observing in the dealings of the Lord with his people. Because his people, they also do not always pray. Does the Lord just then leave them? Does the Lord just then allow that? Oh, no. No, then the Lord will have dealings with his people. He will bring that people once again where he wants them. He will bring them in the right way. What do we read about the redeemed of the Lord? We read in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. The wilderness. What is a wilderness, children? What would you say? One thing about the wilderness. No food grows there. It's not a place that is tilled. It is not a place that is sown. It is not a place where you will see all kinds of beautiful crops that are growing. No, a wilderness is a barren place. That is why then the psalmist, he speaks about a people who become hungry and thirsty. What did we ask for when we prayed? You were listening, right? And then we asked the Lord if he would give us food in the coming season. And you know what David observes in the life of God's children? He observes that the Lord, he is often leading that people in the wilderness, in a place where nothing is growing. That is not easy. That true church of God that is so dependent for the Lord upon sustenance, that cannot do without spiritual meat and drink. And David, he is observing that the way of the Lord with that people that is so often to bring them in the wilderness, then you can be sure that is not according to their flesh. That is not according to what that people desire, no. Then it is a crucifying of their flesh. It is actually a way of dying. Then you can be sure, just as the children of Israel read that history, then so often that people, they are rebelling. Oh, the flesh of God's children, when there is not plenty of food. Oh, if they are in that wilderness, then they have to find out that they are not able to just help themselves, the disciples. And they could go into the fields and just pluck a little corn. But that is so often not possible in the life of that church. No, then they are brought into that wilderness. And then they have to do everything just to try to sustain themselves. Just to try to keep themselves alive. Oh, then they are looking back so often. Or they have to go, people of the Lord, how many years back to find a little food? Oh, and when you try to live off of that manna, oh, then you say it is spoiled. Oh, then there is no power in it anymore. there is nothing to live on anymore, then what do that people often think? How can it go this way? Is this possible that it keeps going in this way? Is this really that life where in the Lord He is leading His own children? Do you know what that church wants? They want a banquet every day. But that is reserved for heaven. That is not reserved for that people here in the world. In general, they have a ration. Oh, there is just a very small little bit. Oh, does the Lord then delight to keep His people thin? Does the Lord delight to keep that people, as it were, just about alive? Oh, no. Oh, no. Do you know what the Lord desires? Just to hear from them. Just to hear from them a little bit. And when He does not keep them in such a way, well, then He does not hear from the people for such a long time. What does David observe? Oh, we read that in the second stanza. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. Then He speaks about the prison. Not here about the wilderness. Thus there is a variety, David says, of dealings of the Lord with His people. Sometimes the Lord, He brings them into the prison. And when it is when that people, they have sinned against the Lord, then they have departed from His ways. And then the Lord, He does not just allow them to continue in that way. That He does with the reprobate. They can work out their own destruction. But My children, no. No, then He will bring His children into prison. He will bind them. What does that mean? Well, if they are bound, they have no freedom. They have no freedom to speak. Oh, how many of that people would love to speak. Oh, they are in the midst of their family, and they are so ashamed. They are so ashamed because they have nothing to say. And then the devil, he says, and are you a child of the Lord? And you have nothing to say to everyone that is around you? No freedom. Yeah, bound. Why? Transgression? Iniquity? Oh, then the psalmist David, he observes how that is going in the life, how the Lord, He is dealing, leading His own children. What does he observe in that third stanza? Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. And he speaks about another circumstance. He speaks about the sick house. When the Lord is laying that people low with disease, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. That happens when you get sick, right, children? You don't want to eat. Say, my stomach, that is upset. And then you just leave it. You know what happens, boys and girls? Often, when a person becomes sick, when they are very old, and when they are going to die, and then very often, and then their body begins to shut down, and then they are not eating, then the systems of their body, and then they are not working anymore, and slowly on they stop eating, and slowly on they stop drinking. And then we know what is going to happen. Because if we do not eat and we do not drink, then what is going to happen? Yes, then that person is going to die. The sick house, the soul abhorreth all manner of meat. Do you know how that is? Oh, the young church, they see that sometimes in their bride. Solomon, he speaks about that. That bride, she's laying on a bed of sloth. Oh, she says, when the bridegroom is knocking, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. And then she says, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? There is no desire. No desire. Even for that spiritual meat. You say, how is that possible? Oh, the young church, they can look at that bride and they say, I do not understand it. In their zeal, in the love of their heart, and then they see how that is when that people, they are, as it were, in that sick house. What is that last stanza? David speaks about those who go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. And then the Lord, he is raising up a storm. He commandeth and raiseth up the stormy wind and the waves. All those who have ever been at sea will not just wink at this. We maybe have never been at sea. I just a little bit. And then I have felt a little bit. And I can only imagine the fears that are in the heart of these sailors. David, he says, they mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Thus, the Lord, he is bringing sometimes trouble. David observes, how is the Lord dealing with that people? And then he says, sometimes the Lord, he is raising a storm in the life of that people. So that they are mounting up to heaven and going down to the depths. Then there is a great fear sometimes in the heart of that true church of God. That storm that is now going to completely overcome them. And they are going to die and be lost at the last. And thus many circumstances, David says. And yet now there is something so remarkable in this quartet. Because each of these circumstances in the wilderness, in the prison, in that sick house, in that storm, and all the trouble that they are brought into, then we do not hear yet with all the trouble that they cried unto the Lord. It is not easy to get a man to cry unto the Lord. We can get a man to fold his hands and to close his eyes. But to get a man now to cry unto the Lord. So when you go home again, then you read it over very carefully, and whoso is wise and will observe these things, they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You read that very carefully, each time again, four times over again. Then we read that they cried unto the Lord. And then you look what it says immediately before that. That is, what it now takes for the Lord to press that cry unto the Lord. And then we see that it is a place where all self-help is so completely cut off that there is nothing left. And now David said, it is the loving kindness of the Lord that he is bringing that people into that place. Listen, in the wilderness, verse 5, then they are hungry, and then they are thirsty. And then what does it say? It says, and their soul fainted in them. Their soul fainted in them. Remember, they are in the wilderness, and then they faint. And now when someone faints, then you say, well, they cannot help themselves anymore. You say, that is done. And their soul fainted in them. In the prison, verse 12, he brought down their heart with labor. Then it does not yet say they cried. No, it says they fell down. Well, what do you do, children, when you fall down? Well, you say, we get up again. Yeah. What does it say? It says they fell down, and there was none to help. And now if you fall down and you cannot get up, and there is no one to help you, no one, then what? Then what? Yeah, that is the place David observes. There the Lord is bringing his church. In the sick house, verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And then what? They draw near to the gates of death. And now when that man, that woman, is not eating anymore, is not drinking anymore, and then you can ask those who have stood by such a deathbed, if that is not true, what we read, what Solomon writes, there is no discharge in that war. No, you stand around and you wait for death. And in the storm, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they cry unto the Lord. No, not yet. And they are at their wits' end. What does that mean? Your wit, that is your mind. And when that boat is in that storm, then you can read about Paul in the storm, and they throw out the ladings out of the boat, and then they take the ropes and they put it around the boat. There's many things they can do, and they do them all. And now what? Their wits end. Cannot think of anything else. Say there is no other option. We have done everything. Everything that we can possibly think of doing. Whoso is wise and will observe these things. There are two things that are meeting. In every one of those circumstances, that is a dire need. In the wilderness, fainting, all that is coming to death. In the prison, falling down, none to help, death, so on. All death. And helplessness. There is nothing more. They are at their end. And then what does the Bible say? Then. Only then. Not before. Then they cry. unto the Lord in their trouble. Let us sing. 188. 1 and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1 and 4 of 188. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even he shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That is one of the gifts of the Lord that is flowing out of the side of Christ. Upon that cross of Golgotha, a gift by the power of the Spirit of the Lord, that He does never leave that people alone until they are brought to cry unto Him. Elijah understood the necessity of this. Elijah, we read, he prayed to the Lord that it might not rain. That was his prayer day. What did we pray for, children? We prayed that it might rain. Do you know what Elijah prayed on his prayer day? He said, Lord, wilt thou give that it would not rain? Yeah. Why? Do you know what he understood? He understood that there is no Thanksgiving Day without a prayer day. And his people, he said, Lord, this people, thy people, they need a prayer day. They need a prayer day. I can tell them to pray, but Lord, thou can bring them to pray. And he asked the Lord if he would give to that people a prayer day. Manasseh, he was a wicked man. And what do we read? Well, he was in affliction. Oh, the Lord. He brought that man to pray. He brought him into prison. He humbled himself greatly before the Lord in his affliction. And the Lord heard his supplication. The loving kindness of the Lord. Where does that begin? That does not begin when the Lord begins to answer prayer. No, that is what foolish man thinks. He say the Lord, he is so good because he has answered our prayer. Wait a moment. Where does the goodness of the Lord begin? That begins in giving that prayer. That begins in pressing that people. So that that prayer, that cry would come out to him, and then that goodness of the Lord is following in the answering of those prayers. We read that four times over again. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Did they deserve that? Read the history. And you say, no. The people, they did not deserve that at all. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people. They are a stiff-necked people. He said, I will destroy them. But he did not. He could not. Why not? They were his people. They were his by election. They were his by covenant. Moses pleaded with the Lord upon this. And the Lord did not destroy them. No, what did the Lord do? Oh, instead, he humbled them. Instead, he brought them low. Instead, he had dealings with that people. And there is no other reason that he brought them low, but only that he might lift them up again. And that is now the sure outcome. When that people, they are crying unto the Lord in their trouble. What do we read? He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. Oh, then he is looking. He is looking for his own glory, to magnify his own name. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That is now what the church learns to sing out of the depths of self-abasement. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. What is now the true deliverance of that church? Is that in temporal things? You say, no, that is in spiritual things. That is the deliverance of their soul. That is right. There are steps in that. But then that is never taking place. The deliverance of that people without a crying unto the Lord in their trouble that he may deliver them out of their distresses. Oh, a man is so blind. He is so blind to the way of free and sovereign grace. until the Lord is opening it to them in the revelation of his dear Son. Where? At the end of the law. Naaman would bring his gifts. And if his gifts were not acceptable, he didn't know any other way. Not only did he not know any other way, he did not agree with any other way. Then he will go back home. And then what does the Lord say? Come back. I will do it different. No. Then the Lord says, you will remain in your leprosy. I do not change for you. I will have it a different way. Now there is a people that are laboring. They are laboring under law. That is the only way they know. Not only the only way they know, it is the only way that they will have it. And more, slowly on and on, then they are experiencing in their life that this is no way. This is a broken covenant. They cannot get what they desire. They can bring themselves now one step closer unto the Lord by all the observation of their law. They cannot get the favor of the Lord because everything is defiled with sin. Oh, that is so discouraging. And do you know what God's people are praying? Oh, when they are observing, they see those people. They do not say anything if they are wise, but only to the Lord. And they say, Lord, no rain. Just like Elijah. Oh, Lord, withhold it. Withhold it. Why? Because that place that is so necessary that a man comes into. Oh, that place where they are fainting, where they are falling down, and there is no one to help them, where that law cannot deliver them, where it becomes so impossible. Oh, David observes it, and it is so true. And then the people, oh, in the end, they have to cry unto the Lord. Then it is for them so lost. And then, oh, when they may cry unto the Lord, and when that law that is completely finished, then the Lord, he delivers them out of their distresses. Oh, then he opens to them what he has done from his own sight. Then he reveals to them a new way, a living way. Oh, then the people, they begin to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Then it becomes a wonder to them that the Lord had not let them go in that way that they were going, or in that city of morality, to be satisfied there, because there is no salvation, no loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That is no different. That is no different when the Lord, he is going to establish that people, that concerned church of God, and he, in the leadings of his Spirit, he is going to set that people on a right and on a good foundation. And then that people who have rejoiced when they may see that way, and have begun to rest in a promise, in a deliverance, in a text, and maybe now for many years. For many years, and then they have built and built. Upon this, they have maybe even received an office in the church. They have become a minister. And then what? Yeah. I have to die. I have to stand before God. And that text, 20, 30, 40 years ago, what is that now to me? I cannot die with this. Oh, there are many things. I cannot deny them, no. But this is not sufficient. Why? Because I have to stand before my judge. And the Lord, he begins to strip away. No, they do not need to throw it away. You do not need to throw it away, what the Lord gives. But the Lord will remove it as a foundation, as precious as it remains. Then the Lord will remove it. Show, this is not the foundation. And then there is no assurance. And then the people, they begin to tremble. They say, what really do I have? And what now has to take place? It is one thing when Christ is revealed to the soul of that people as the way, as the truth, and as the life. It is one thing when they have rejoiced to see him, when there was no way for them anymore. And it is another thing to stand before our judge. Or it is one thing to receive a promise of a surety. And it is another thing to stand in the court. To stand in the court. Because then the judge still has to speak. You see what has still to take place? Or it has to be that the people lose their life. To lose not only their works, but also to lose their life. In order that that judge may speak, because that surety must come between. And that judge needs to speak in order that that people would be delivered from going down into the pit. Oh, do you see where it needs to come time and again in the life of that people? That they may cry unto the Lord in their trouble, that he may deliver them out of their distresses. Oh, whoso is wise. And will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. His way is to break down, that he may build up, and to place his people on a different foundation, on a better foundation. That is a necessary way, but you can be sure that their flesh, that is going to fight against it. But the Lord will have his way. The Lord will have his way because it is his elect. He does not pursue them to destroy them. No, he pursues them to deliver them and to press out of them a little bit of that blessed oil that they may cry unto him in their trouble. And that he may deliver them out of their distresses, congregation, it is prayer day. Every year, we gather together. We gather together to ask the Lord for His blessing on the labors of our hands, the sowing in the fields, and so on. What is now ahead of us, we do not know. The judgments of the Lord, they are upon us. Will that now increase? Or will the Lord now take it away? We all want it to go away. That is what we want. But you know, if we have never learned to cry unto the Lord in our trouble, and the Lord now takes it all away, then it is but a patching over. Then it is but as a healing of something slightly, the Bible says. Then we have never received the greatest blessing, the blessing that belongs to the true church of God. What is the purpose of the Lord with His church? That is to glorify His own name. That is why He will bring His people so low, to cry unto Him in their trouble. Oh, what is now necessary for the Lord to do to bring us there? What does the Lord have to do? To us as a nation, to us as churches, to us as individuals, what does He have to do to bring us to cry unto Him in our trouble? Do you know Jeremiah? The Lord said to Jeremiah, "You make a yoke, a wooden yoke." And Hananiah broke it. He broke that yoke. Read it in the Bible. And then the Lord said to Jeremiah, "You now make an iron one." Iron one. A year is a long time. It has now been a year. Restrictions, all those things. How many years was it for Israel? 70 years. Can you imagine? 70 long years in bondage. And that is now where that people learned to cry. Cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And that is now where the Lord delivered that people out of their distresses. What is now necessary for us? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, have thou mercy upon us, because we are foolish creatures, each and every one of us, and we need to be taught by thee, and we rebel against thy ways. We would shake off thy yoke, but thou wilt bring thy church to cry. O give us to cry, Lord. And wilt thou deliver us in the times in which we are? Oh, deliver us from ourselves in the first place. Forgive thou and take away our many, many sins. Bring us safely to our places. Help us with our labors. For Jesus' sake, amen. 292, stanzas 3 and 4. Wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place, there in peace secure to stay, till with thirst and hunger pressed, courage sank within their breast. 3 and 4 of Psalter 292. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.